This is Trending Mobile Technology, episode 89, right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another round of Trending Mobile Technology with your host, Pipe the DJ, your man on a mission in a mobile condition. I'm right here, right now, as always, hosted proudly by the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. We're marching and moving, rolling all the way through. We got a lot of stuff coming in, but first, contact information. Reach out to the Piper. How do you want to find me? PiperTheDJ at gmail.com. PiperTheDJ on Google+. PiperTheDJ on Twitter. Do not, and I repeat, do not look for me on Facebook because you won't find me. But just about any other form of social media, you can find me there. The handle is mine. It's been mine for I don't know how long. It's going to continue to be mine. Just the simple fact that I think I'm about the only guy that goes by that. Now, there is a guy in Europe, DJ Pied Piper, but that's not me, okay? So, just so we're clear. Mobile tech, lots of great things, weird things, exciting things, interesting things, head-scratcher things, and many other types of things going on this week, and we'll get into that as the time rolls out. But topping the headlines, Apple. Now, we all know that Apple has their release date coming up very soon, where they're going to be announcing the next iPhone, they're supposed to be announcing a tablet, they're supposed to be announcing a watch, they're supposed to be doing some other things. But despite all that, earlier this week, celebrities started coming down on Apple, citing, quote, "My iCloud service leaked pornographic material." Time out. Celebrity status. Why? I mean, seriously, why would you put incriminating photos of any type, pornographic or otherwise, in a cloud resource? I look at this and say, well, fucking duh, you deserve this for one. Number two, why do you have this in a cloud resource? And number three, why are you getting mad at Apple for this? They leaked pictures, okay? Now, back up a little bit. Google, the folks at Google, they have a searcher script or a meta script or something that goes through and looks in pictures as they're broken down into bits, ones and zeros, to see if they set off too much exposed skin, okay? That's how they find child porn and things of that nature in certain types of resources. So if there's a flag that goes up over this and something gets out, stupid on you, okay? Remember, please don't forget this. I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face because I strongly believe it. And strangely enough, I'm not the only one who believes this. Privacy in an internet-driven society is a paradox, okay? If you want for even a minute to believe that with the internet around us, like it is, that you have a hope, an ounce, to believe that throwing something into the internet for secure storage and it's going to stay that way, you are out of your damn mind. I mean, seriously, pictures in a cloud resource. Now, time out. Pump the brakes a minute. I know plenty of people, who store pictures on Facebook. I know plenty of people who store pictures on Google+. I know plenty of people who store pictures in Google Drive. I know plenty of people who store pictures in various other cloud resources. All right? I do too. I admit that. I do too. But, yes, great, big, massive but in there. These pictures are not incriminating. Number two, if these pictures get out, who gives a shit? Good luck. Number three, I doubt they'll make me famous. And number four, they're not pictures of my kids. And a lot of people that I associate with know that if there's a picture uploaded, I mean, they've been all over my Facebook site, Facebook page, all over my Google Plus, and like, you don't have any pictures up there, dude. I'm like, yeah, I've got a couple, but nothing too awful serious. Went paintballing with a bunch of guys a few weeks back, and I wound up getting tagged by the paintball field that we went to. I get this notification, and I look it up, and I'm going, and life's continuing on, and before you know it, I got a lot of people calling me, texting me, sending me direct messages, things like that. Hey, saw you on so-and-so's website, saw you on their Google Plus page, saw you on their Facebook page. Yep, that's me, okay? Other people want to post pictures of me, that's fine. If I find my picture posted someplace that doesn't have my permission, you better believe there's going to be seven kinds of hell over it. But remember, folks, remember, privacy in an internet-driven society like we're in right now is a paradox. If you think otherwise, you're out of your mind. Now, Apple has come forward and said, yes, we're adding another factor of authentication. Now, they have two-factor authentication enabled, but when it comes to certain cloud resources, as well as certain accessibility to their iCloud, they're going to add a second factor to that. For example, whenever I access my Gmail from a computer that I typically don't access it from, first it'll ask for a PIN number for authentication. And then after that, I'll receive a message. If it's not from my laptop at home and it's not off of my tablet, I will receive a notification on my phone that this particular account is being accessed from a computer. Won't necessarily give me the IP address, but it'll at least give me something, you know, this user, because whichever, you know, IP address it is, it's got to have a user attached to it in some way, shape, or form, whether it be through Chrome or Firefox or something like that. This user is accessing this account, or this account has been accessed through this. This isn't you, click here. You know, and I can access that other stuff through my administrative account and through my dashboard as well. So there's different aspects that I can have there. The question that's going up in my mind here is, how was Apple the first one? I mean, Google went through this a couple years ago. Facebook went through it a couple years ago. Why is all of a sudden Apple not learning from anybody's mistakes? I mean, it's like AT&T taking on all these gimmick phones and not learning their mistakes. For example, AT&T, they proprietized the iPhone. They were the first one to carry it. They failed because everybody else wanted to take it, and they wanted to take it to other networks. Fire Phone for Amazon, again, another situation. AT&T is the only carrier. Starts out $2.99 with on contract. Now, check this, folks. It's down 99 cents. Two-year contract. Wholesale or list price, I believe, is down $200 to $450. You see a trend here with AT&T. They'll take these gimmick phones, knock the prices, you know, go okay, fairly reasonable, and then knock the prices down a bunch, and then off they'll go. Rewinding here. So Apple, having this problem with authentication, having this problem with photos getting leaked, having this problem with just, I could have swore that this problem was addressed back when Google had the same issue. I thought this problem was addressed when second-factor authentication came into play. But then I did a little bit more digging. And this was actually an article that came to me way, way back out of Ars Technica. And it said that second-factor authentication was an opt-in. That means you had to grant permission to get involved in it. Now, by default now, Apple iCloud services are automatically on. You have to opt out of it. Second-factor authentication for Google is opt-in. This whole thing boils down to one simple fact. People believing that there is privacy out there in an internet-driven society. Okay? Go back a couple weeks, four weeks, when I spoke to Mr. Old School. We had Security Special 2.0. He made this statement. He agrees with me. Privacy in an internet-driven society is a paradox. Looking forward to Apple's presentation, new release for the fall lineup. Supposed to talk about something with wireless payments, maybe a little bit of NFC, as iBeacon has kind of shown its underbelly a little bit. So what does Apple have to do here? Because Android's been trying to get NFC to work. They've been trying to get the wireless payment service to work better, and it's not working the way they wanted it to. So what do I do? Well, understand here, Apple has a real big tendency to undertake a project and work it and mess around with it and modify it and get it to a point where it will work. I mean, Tim Cook says it all the time. It's just gotta work. Many Apple users say it all the time. It's just gotta work. Obi-Wan Jabroni says it all the time. It's just gotta work. Plain and simple. It's gotta work. Apple's going to make it work. Now, granted, they'll have to lock it down, they'll have to proprietize it, they'll have to monetize it, and make it into something that works into their best interest. But the bottom line, wireless transactions will become a thing of the present instead of a thing of the future if Apple undertakes this. They're supposed to talk about a bigger phone, supposed to talk about a watch, might be talking about a new tablet, not quite sure. But this is almost for sure to be a discussion about the new iOS 8, as well as the new lineup of mobile devices. Got a couple app reviews. I haven't done these in a while, but I do have a couple apps that have come across my desk recently. I'm always interested in increasing my productivity. Less keystrokes. I mean, when I was doing a lot of desktop work, I did work with a mouse, but I preferred quick keys, things of that nature. And those of you longtime Windows users, and even actually OS X users now too, Alt-Tab, where you can scroll through the different windows and change dominance of which window, there's actually a little app out there. It's called Alt-Tab. It's in the Android market, Android Play Store. And what it does is it maximizes multitasking. You launch this little app, it throws a little icon up in your notification bar, and then it stores your last 10 apps. Now, let's rewind a little bit. When I initially got my Note 2, one of the biggest things that excited me about it was the ability to utilize split screen. Well, with many custom ROMs that are out there, split screen isn't really perfected because it's reliant on TouchWiz to function properly. And more on my TouchWiz rant once I get to Unpacked version 2.0. But I haven't run a TouchWiz ROM in a very long time. So obviously, split screen doesn't really work for me. This little app called Alt-Tab, like I said, it is in the Android Play Store for free. It stores your most recent apps to where instead of having to open an app, do what you're going to do, back all the way out to desktop, go back into your app drawer, find the app you want to, launch it, go back. That's four different screens you've got to go to, okay? This Alt-Tab program, just pull down your notification shade. Your most recent apps are right there in a line. Click on it, it switches over right automatically. I can go from my note-taking app at school to Google Search and back again without ever leaving an application. Never see my desktop. Just go one to the other to the other. Very good productivity tool, especially if you have 3, 4, 5 different apps that you're juggling at any given time. It's easy, it's simple, it's lightweight, and it does what it's supposed to do. Second app I want to bring up tonight is LAS, which is Last Application Switcher. It's just a little button, and you can customize the button, the color, and all that kind of good stuff. It sits on your desktop. It floats everywhere, anywhere you want it, usually close to an edge. And what that does, when you press it, it switches to the most recent app, whatever you're in. Say you're in Google Keep, all right? Well, you're in Google Keep, and then you're going to go and you got a text message. So you're going to go check your text message. Got the text message taken care of. You can hit the LAS, and it will take you immediately back to Google Keep. Now, you can keep pushing that, and it'll take you back to text messaging, then back to Google Keep, then back to text messaging, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But only stores one app, okay? Out of these two apps, which do I give the big thumbs up to? I give it to AltTab because I can store up to 10 applications in that app bar, up to 10 different applications. So that's my Google Keep, that's my Google Search, email, my Gmail app, MP3 player if I want, Beyond Pod for podcasts, etc. But I've got my major, most favorite. Now, every once in a while, I will launch up Fruit Ninja so I can play some games, or I might get bored and play a game of chess. Not a big deal, though. The primary apps that I use on a regular basis that I have to flip back and forth through frequently in class, whether it be for study or for note-taking or various other things, they're right there and they're all in one space and I never have to worry about looking at the desktop. It's all there where it's supposed to be. Mobile gadgets. I had one hit my desk the other day. It brought a smile to my face. I've complained for years about foot pain. I've been a material handler for a very long time in a factory setting, whether it be a forklift or reach lift or stand-up fork truck or something. I'm on my feet a lot. And about 7-8 months ago, I broke down and I spent a rather significant amount of money on a pair of shoes. Because, over here in the States at least, if you want shoes to last, you've got to put the money into them. I mean, over here, typically speaking, majority of individuals, they'll buy their shoes at an average retailer, where the average doctor will tell you, if you're going to buy your shoes from this retailer, you're going to have to replace them every month. It's just all there is to it. Pay the higher dollar amount, the shoes will last longer. That's just the way that works. So foot pain was always the biggest thing. It still is. Well, actually, no, it isn't, because since I got these boots, my feet are feeling really good. But here's something. Digisole, that's Digisole. This is a Kickstarter project. This is a project which is a step counter, okay? Not only does it count your steps, but it also acts as a foot warmer. It also tells you if your shoes aren't fitting right, and it notifies your phone. I mean, it pairs with your phone via Bluetooth, so it's another one of those fitness trackers on your feet. I looked at it, I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, I thought it was a neat little thing. It's an interesting little deal. It's called Digisole, as I said, Digisole. All right, so. For those who don't like fitness trackers on your arms, wrist, or other part of your body, here's one that goes in your shoe. Nobody will even know you got it on. Google X Labs launched another project earlier this week called Project Wing. Now, a few months ago, Amazon came out citing that they're going to have these little octocopters delivering small things, you know, from their warehouses located all over the states to front doors. And there was a great big old controversy about, well, how, you know, what if somebody goes hunting? What if somebody shoots it down? How are they going to ensure that they get to the right place? How are they going to ensure that they have the right person picking up the package, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, then Google comes along and they say, okay, look at us. We have Project Wing. And once again, it's the same thing, an octocopter, except they went into a little bit more detail. They said parcels up to a particular weight, and I don't remember what the particular weight is off the top of my head, but packages up to a particular weight will be shipped utilizing this service. And if you watch it on YouTube, you can find it on YouTube, Project Wing, the demo. This little octocopter flies around, gets to a place, lowers the package on a fishing line, hits the ground, fishing line cuts, and then it flies off. You ever remember playing that helicopter game? You ever have one of those little helicopter things when you were a kid where it had to go up and down and up and down, then go down and pick up the hoop and pick up again, you know, type of thing. Be kind of the same thing, except you're with an octocopter. And it's kind of cool. I mean, it looks neat. It looks like it's a little bit refined. But at the same time, these octocopters are only supposed to have like a 45-minute lifespan on them. And then once again, what are we going to do about the FAA? What are we going to do about airplanes? What are we going to do about people that just stand out saying, ooh, I want what that thing has, and they shoot it out of the air? How's the copter going to make sure that it delivers your package to the right place? You know, basically all the same things that we worried with Amazon under a different banner. To my knowledge, when Amazon had their problems, they had a bunch of people asking them questions. They said, oh, we don't know. And that was it. They just dropped it. Done. I mean, despite the wealth and knowledge of Jeff Bezos, he's just like, and he kind of had a seizure and called it quits. But Google said, we know there's problems. We know there's issues with this, but we want you to know that we're working on it. Time out. Amazon came up with the idea first. They presented the idea, and then when they start running into resistance, they folded on it. Google, in all its wisdom and glory, and I use that term loosely, folks, understand that, present the same thing. And when they run into problems, say, we understand, okay? How are we going to make sure your project gets the right place? Your parcel, your book, whatever it is, how are we going to make sure that it gets the right place? We know there's still some kinks that need to be worked out, but the public needs to understand we are working on this. And then as soon as Google says, yeah, we're working on it, everybody's like, oh, okay. And then they shut up. So Project Wing, we're working on it. I can appreciate the fact of being able to get my packages 10 pounds and under with an octocopter. Same day, possibly, depending on where it's coming from. I can respect that fact. But at the risk of safety for others, like, airline pilots, birds, how about people driving? Because if these things are driving too low, it turns into a traffic issue. Hello? Yeah. At that risk, I'd be willing to wait. I mean, nothing is so important that somebody else needs to die over it. I am not that impatient of an individual to where it's got to be today. Yeah, sure. Don't get me wrong. I've had some stuff break, malfunction, and I don't have a backup. All right? I get that. I understand that 100%. Okay? I hear you. But, you know, patience, folks. Either plan ahead to where you have a replacement, or you just have to wait. School books is a primary example. My first semester of university, I had all my books first day of class. Well, I learned that you never buy your books until you've been to the class the first time. Because sometimes there'll be discounts. Other times where the registration list will say you need all these books, the instructor will actually say, yeah, you need this one and this one and this one, but not that one, that one, that one. Or you can get these, or you can get this at a discount. And believe it or not, most professors know where the best deal is, despite what the internet says, despite what Google Books says, despite what Amazon says, despite any of them. The instructors know the best place to get their material. And that, you know, that just all in itself is a good thing. But all that aside, would it be nice to be able to get books for school same day? No big deal. You know, my counter argument to that, because I actually had this discussion with an instructor. He asked me why I didn't have my book yet. I said, well, you know, I don't buy my books until first day of class. He's like, well, you got your syllabus. I was like, yeah, but you weren't here first day of class. So I didn't have opportunity to ask you everything I needed to ask you concerning the book, okay? And just so wound out that that particular subject, syllabus said we needed four separate books. After speaking to the instructor, we only needed two. Now, in most cases, if I can get the book electronically, I will. Just for the simple fact, A, it's cheaper. B, I don't have to worry about shipping. C, I can buy it for cheaper than I can rent it. And D, I don't have to worry about paper. I mean, four simple things, right? So, but out of the four books, I only needed two of them. And if I would have bought those two books electronically, I would have been out the money. I mean, one thing about ebooks is there's no return. And it's kind of that way, getting that way with paper too. If you sign up to rent it, there's no return. Now, there's a lot of books that you can rent. Plenty of places where you can rent a textbook. I mean, just from, there's Chegg.com, there's Amazon, there's Book Rental, there's Rent This, there's, I mean, many, many different resources where you can rent a textbook. But many professors nowadays are writing their own material, and they're getting it bound themselves, they're getting it published themselves, to a point where if you don't buy it new, you're going to miss out on something. And that's just little something. So bottom line, Project Wing, good thing, bad thing, ugly thing. I give it a good thing. A, that they're working on it to get all these objections that were initially presented to Amazon, that Amazon said, oh, resistance, oh, resistance is futile. And then they threw in the towel. You know, Amazon should have said, you know, we recognize these problems that you're saying, and your problems are not falling on deaf ears. So we, Jeff Bezos, should have said, well, yes, I understand, and I will have a team working on these problems to get them resolved. Did they do that? No. And that is where I'm giving Amazon fault here, because Jeff Bezos made the announcement at their big whatever Amazon event last year. And that was all we heard about it. Nothing. Nothing at all. All the way up until earlier this week, Google announces X Labs is starting to work on Project Wing. Now, the media is going ballistic over this. Okay? Understand this. The media is going ballistic over this because they're saying that they're taking Amazon's idea. Time out. Stop. Hold on. Google recognizes this. They're not saying that it's their idea. They haven't said that. Project Wing is their idea. But the entire concept of octocopters delivering your stuff, no. But the problems that are present that were given to Jeff Bezos when he announced the Amazon delivery system, Google is saying, okay, we're going to work on these. Now, whether it actually comes to reality or not, I don't know. But it's something moving in the right direction. I'm interested to see exactly what's going to happen about this. Favor of Google, favor of Amazon, good thing, bad thing, ugly thing, I'll give it a good thing. For the simple fact that this could be getting to a place where, mail, I get stuff in the mail all the time, but would this be easier on the Postal Service? Even post, period, right? I mean, if you can cut down on shipping and handling and postage and all that kind of crap, wouldn't this be a good thing? So we'll see, all right? It's one of those things I got to watch with interest and move forward from there, and we will see what we can do. Device kill switches is going to be in effect come the next generation, which I believe will be by Christmas. The FCC, Tom Wheeler at the helm, came down and said that they're going to start mandating OEMs to put kill switches in their devices so people can remotely lock and remotely wipe their devices. What? Okay, first off, why do you need to remotely lock your device? Why don't you just lock it before you put it on your hip, dumbass? I mean, look, ask yourself, how many times have you lost your keys? How many times have you lost your wallet? How many times have you lost your glasses? How many times have you lost your purse, your billfold, anything? Anything. Have you ever mislaid anything in your life? Okay, if the answer to that is yes, which it probably is for, I'd say 95% of you, the other 5%, you've probably shut me off already, which is no big deal. But the 95% of you that say, yeah, I lost something not too long ago or a while back or whatever, why would you think that it's safe to leave an electronic device that has all your crap in it unlocked for anybody to pick up? I mean, really? Sorry, folks. I get a new device, it gets a security code. And I'm not talking that facial recognition crap. It either gets a pattern lock or a PIN number on it. My Nexus has a PIN number on it. Why? Because if I hook up my keyboard to it, I can type that in and get in that way. My phone has a pattern lock on it because I don't do very much with the keyboard on that. All right? So why would you need to be able to remote lock? Because you're an idiot and you're under this false illusion that just because you have this phone in your pocket, no one's going to steal it and you're never going to lose it. You're dumb. All right, enough of that one. So kill switches are coming. Those Android users that are out there, despite what the FCC says, I'm still going to promote Android Device Manager. It's the easiest way to do it, folks. I use Android Device Manager, and I know when it first came out, I advocated against it. I said, do not put this on your devices. But it has evolved. It has improved. It has stepped up. And it is to a point where it can take care of your device for you under administrative privilege. In the iOS camp, they have the same thing. It's baked into the iOS to where you can log into your iTunes account and remotely lock and wipe anything and actually deauthorize a device. But once again, folks, why are you out there with your device unsecure? I mean, really? Now, I understand. I don't claim to be the smartest guy out there, all right? Just because the words come out of my mouth doesn't mean it's right. Just because I say it over and 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 over again doesn't mean that it's right. Just because I rant and rave and scream and bitch and moan and ugh about it doesn't mean I'm right. But since, folks, since, I had a buddy of mine, very good friend of mine. He and I worked together for a lot of years. We've kept in touch even after he moved one direction, I moved another. Received an email from him Monday. It was kind of odd because he didn't call me by name. He always called me by name. He didn't call me by name. He said, please help. I've gone out of state on holiday, and I had my phone, my wallet, my credit card, my traveler's checks all stolen. I'm currently on temporary visa. I need your help to settle up with the hotel by plane ticket home. Paraphrased, understand. Your kindest regards, or your any assistance would be appreciated. Kindest regards. And I read it. I read it again. And I read it again, knowing full well that there are scam artists out there. So the first thing I did is I expanded the headers, and it had from, had the correct email address, but then I expanded the headers, and it had reply to, it had the first part of the email address correct, at yahoo.com.
Aha, red flag number one.
So I read the email again, and I started to notice writing patterns of fallibility. For example, lowercase I. This man happens to be, well, not happens, retired English teacher. A lowercase I in a first person, pet peeve to any English teacher. My grandfather was an English teacher, all right? Get that. Number two, spelling errors and capitalization errors, sentence structure errors, all the way through. Again, remember, my friend is a retired English teacher. My grandfather was an English teacher. So, these two things, pet peeves, clearly there was a moron who got into his account somehow because he did have second factor authentication and everything like that. But for more rants and raves on that, see previous story at the top of the show concerning iCloud. Shortly after, he sent me an email citing that, yes, indeed, his email had been hacked. He had not used that email in some time, hence the reason why it became compromised. That was actually an account that he hadn't used in quite a good amount of time. And I hadn't even noticed that, to be honest. I just looked at who it was from, and it popped up in my address book because I keep just about everything in there. And it was interesting because he sent it out, and he was nice enough to advise everybody
that all this was taken care of. But on the flip side of it, he also knew and recognized how to deal with this because people were contacting him at his new email address. I looked at it. I saw the Yahoo.com address. I knew it was a scam. I mean, it just, duh. So, moving on. Kill switches are on the way. If your device is out there, folks, and it's not secure, what are you doing? Really? That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. I'm not going to insinuate that I know your lifestyle, how you are, the way you act, what you believe in, what you don't, all right? Again, remember, just because the words come out of my mouth doesn't mean it's right. I take the paranoid-induced route of securing everything, at least twice, okay? My Note 2 is encrypted. My Note 2 is secured with a PIN code or pattern code. My Nexus is encrypted. My Nexus is also secured with a PIN code. My Note 2 does have an SD card. That SD card is also encrypted. And if that SD card is removed from the Note 2, it will no longer be functional unless it's formatted. My devices are also all enabled with Android Device Manager to where I can do a remote wipe if I need to. I can do it from a computer. I can do it from my wife's phone if I need to. All right? All these are options. Security, folks. Remember, privacy in an internet-driven society is a paradox. Protect your privacy. Even if it's a pattern lock, it's fine. Make it a little bit harder for them, though. All right? Sorry. I got a little carried away, and that's just... Okay, so, dates to know. 24 September is a BlackBerry event. Invitation signing, quote, see the bigger picture. And it's already been leaked out that the BlackBerry Passport is supposed to be announced. The BlackBerry Passport is the square device. Not quite sure exactly what that... It looks interesting, but unfortunately, I honestly believe that BlackBerry is a little too little too late. As much as I would like to see them continue on, I just think that they spent too long on their older devices and not stepping up into the current generation of touchscreen. I think they spent too long saying, well, why would anybody want to do that? Well, if anybody has taken the time to read the Sir Walter Isaacson book on Steve Jobs, you know Steve Jobs said the exact same thing. Why would anybody want to do that? Well, you're right. But it's what they want. And once Apple got around that, they released the iPhone. Boom. What do they got? Well, BlackBerry said it. And I don't remember the CEO of BlackBerry at the time. But he was like, well, who would want a phone on a camera on their phone? Well, who would want to be able to play games on their phone? Who would want to be able to listen to music on their phone? Who would want to be able to do fill in the blank on their phone? Fill in the blank with anything that is not a phone-related function. Who'd want to? Who? I'll tell you who. Everybody. Everybody. Don't care who you are, folks. Any type of game can be played on a device now. And that's really the interesting, funny part. I play Tempest. I'm getting back into playing Ingress. I play chess. I play Othello. I found a Rook game. I mean, I can play just about any type of game that I want to. It's not only my connection to home, but it's also a complete entertainment device to help me get through the day. It keeps track of my notes for school because when I take notes on my tablet, it automatically populates and pushes to my phone. It keeps track of my email, not only for personal, but also educational, so that in case I miss something in one email, it gets to another. It manages my schoolwork for me through the school website. It helps me keep track of my assignments through my school calendar. All right? This is everything to me. So why would I want a camera on it? Well, why not? Why would I want to be able to play games on it? Well, why not? I'm stuck with it 12 hours a day. Surely I'm going to get bored eventually. Surely I'm going to need something to take my mind off of the crap that's around me. Why would I want to access social media on it? Oh, let's see here. Social media is mobile, and so am I. I mean, I don't always have an opportunity to log into a desktop. So, yeah, why would I want to? Why not? It's a convenience factor, guys. That's what it boils down to. So, BlackBerry Passport, as much as I want to see it get better, I really don't think so. I think they shot themselves in the foot on this one. And I don't know. I will watch with interest, because if this does have any way, shape, or form of digging them out of the deep hole that they've stuck themselves in, then it would be a good thing. But I don't see, I mean, with Apple and Android respectively 1 and 2, Microsoft a solid third, and gaining ground, by the way. Yes, yes, Mr. Old School, those words came out of my mouth. Microsoft Windows Mobile Operating System is gaining ground. Now, granted, Android and Apple are down, I believe, 7% respectively, and that market share has gone to Microsoft. BlackBerry continues to drop in the market share world, and that has also gone to Microsoft. Now, is Microsoft going to be in a position where they'll be mainstream? No, but they do have their place. Where BlackBerry was going great and wild and nuts in their heyday when it came to the executive and corporate space, Microsoft has taken that spot. Microsoft has proven to be dominant, that they are here to stay and they are not going to go anywhere, and that despite the fact that they can screw things up for almost a decade, they can recover and make things better. So, you heard it here, folks. Words came out of my mouth. Yep, Microsoft is getting better. They do have a place. So, BlackBerry continues to go down. We'll watch with interest to see if the Passport's going to do anything. Honestly, as much as it pains me to say, I can see this Passport going proprietary to AT&T. And then that's just going to be the nail in the coffin for these guys. Because going proprietary AT&T would just be a dumb move. Amazon did it, failed. Facebook did it with their HTC phone, failed. iPhone did it, ran into problems, right? I mean, I don't know. So, earlier this week, Samsung had their Unpacked Event 2.0 2014, and talked about a phone, they talked about another phone, they talked about a wearable, they talked about another wearable. And I'm going to talk about those devices in that particular order. The first phone they talked about was the Samsung Galaxy Note 4. A little bit bigger than the Note 3, still running on Android, still running with the TouchWiz interface. New Smart Pen, new S Pen features. Lots of neat little things, gadgets and gadgets and gizmos and stupid Samsung sauce crap built into it. But if that's what floats your boat, there you have it. Primary feature on the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 that really impressed me was their charging speed. 0 to 15% in 30 minutes. Let me say that again. 0 to 15% in 30 minutes. Sounds kind of good. I mean, if you got an hour, you can get a 60% battery. Now, that's kind of different from the Motorola when they said you can get a full battery charge in an hour. But I'm not talking about Motorola right now. Good thing, bad thing, ugly thing for the Samsung Galaxy Note 4. Honestly, if you've got a Note 3, don't upgrade. If you've got a Note 2 and Samsung's perpetuation of their sauce thrills you, this might be an acceptable step up for you. So there's a good and a bad. Here's the ugly thing. Despite my advocacy for Samsung over the past couple years, I will not be buying this device. I have become sick and tired and frustrated to a point where I want to pull my hair out over TouchWiz. Tired of it. Ugh! It disgusts me. The fact that Samsung can't get updates out on time. The fact that despite the spectacular specs that are on this device, by December it's going to be outdated? Don't even get me started on TouchWiz. This device is not for me. Good thing, bad thing, ugly thing, your mileage may vary. If you are one who is stuck in Samsung, this would be for you. If you are one of those who feels the only thing TouchWiz is good for is navigating to a ROM so you can root in ROM, that's perfectly fine. There's developers that are out there that do things like this all the time. But the thing that you need to remember, Samsung is going to get smarter when it comes to locking down their devices. Yes, Odin might have worked last year, but is it going to work this year? I don't know. I'm not interested in this, though, folks. I mean, honestly, Project Nexus is probably going to be my next move. Just for the simple fact that Nexus has shown that it's stable, it's efficient, updates are solid, and overall, I like the customizability that I have on my Nexus 7. It's just a little big for me to make phone calls on, though. So, anyhow, moving on. Device number 2. Samsung Galaxy Edge. This is a device that's a little bit smaller than the Note 4. Pretty cool specs, though. Decent specs. The only thing is, it's got the threatened curved display that Samsung's been threatening for a couple of years now, to a point where if you have the flip wallet type thing, close the lid and it's sitting on the table, you get a notification in, you can look and it will display the text scrolling kind of like those old magnifiers that you roll down the page, right? It's only a little like single line, but you can still make it out. The first question that I asked, and to be completely honest, my wife asked it as well. First question is, how would I get an OtterBox on that? Now, I know some people out there don't use cases. I use cases because I'm not very nice with my devices. Now, granted, I am in school full time, and granted, now that I'm not, you know, doing a whole bunch of crazy crap all the time, I might consider it. But with that Gorilla Glass that's still out there, you have got to be out of your freaking mind. So, still relying on TouchWiz, again, good thing, bad thing, ugly thing. Good thing, it's got the little flexible display, okay? The edge where it scrolls down, you got that extra pixel. So, you know, that could make things kind of interesting. It's got extra launcher, proprietary apps, relying on TouchWiz, all that kind of crap. Yeah. Bad thing, it's reliant on TouchWiz. All right, enough said. I've gone on and on and on about TouchWiz enough. So there you go. Ugly thing, it's reliant on TouchWiz. You take TouchWiz out of the equation, that extra edge thing there is useless. So if you are susceptible to liking things like this, this might be a thing for you. If it isn't, well, you know, I'm fairly confident there'll be other devices coming out between now and Christmas. My opinion, TouchWiz, Samsung in general, has gotten way too out of hand. Now, some technologists disagree with me and they say, now TouchWiz has evolved and it's gotten better. I still look at it and say, yes, but it still sucks. Why can't it just be a simple Google experience? That's the part that kills me all the time. Because it gets... I remember when I had Jack on a few months back. We get these devices and we set them up the way we want them to. And then we run into something and we find out that it's got all this sauce built up in it. Driving me crazy. Mr. Old School, I still thank you so very much for giving me that term. The frickin' sauce. And it's not in a good way. So, Galaxy Note Edge, yay, nay, a lot of people are excited about it. Some people, not so much. I would be excited about this if it didn't rely on TouchWiz. But since it's relying on TouchWiz, I look at it and say, no, sorry. So, that moves us to the Galaxy S. Gear S, which is a watch. It's a wearable. It's a wearable watch. It's got a phone built into it. A phone, the watch, with 2G, 3G speed, running on Tizen, it's a phone. And it looks ugly as hell. Oh my goodness. As if Samsung wasn't giving me enough headaches with their stupid jokes. As if Samsung wasn't trying to pull off an Apple event. As if Samsung wasn't making it sound like TouchWiz and Tizen were the next biggest things. As if they thought that we might have forgotten. As if they thought putting this monstrosity on a dainty woman's wrist was going to be a good thing. They're wrong. Hate to break it to you. This watch looks butt stupid. I mean, it is just, no. Now, before I get too carried away, props to Samsung for throwing two cutting edge devices against the wall to see if they'd stick. I mean, I think it's safe to say from here on out, Samsung is going to release at least one wearable, no matter how stupid and dumb. I mean, it's just going to be one wearable. And, oh, man. This is the thing that really didn't get to, that I really didn't get. You can back this device up to the Samsung Cloud, but in order to get a complete restore, you have to link it to a Samsung Galaxy device. What? So you're going to make me buy a phone and a watch just so I can utilize the complete capacity of the watch? Now, I'm sure, fairly confident, there's some backward faggot fuck out there just thinking, ooh, I gotta have that. To you, sir, I apologize. I would like to be able to convince you to say, wait. I would like to be able to say that this device isn't everything that you think it is, despite what Samsung says. Overall approval rating for this device in particular is well below 50%, by the way, if that's anything. These three devices scheduled to hit racks sometime late October, perhaps Q4, definitely in time for holiday shopping blitz and Christmas 2014. Final device from Samsung Galaxy Unpacked 2 is the Galaxy VR. Now, follow me on this. Take a pair of skier's goggles, pull out the lens, paint them white, and throw your Galaxy Note 4 in there. And there you have it. $300-some-odd, I believe, for this device. And it looks dumb as dumb can be. One, proprietary to the Samsung Galaxy Note 4. So those of us that are still rocking the Note 2s and those that have rocked the Note 3s in the past, guess what? You're out of luck. Those of you that are rocking the Samsung Galaxy S5, guess what? You're out of luck. Oh, and for those of you who are not Samsung users, bend over and grab your ankles, boys, because this one's going to hurt. You're out of luck. Interface is Bluetooth or Wi-Fi Direct, one of the two. Supposed to be augmented reality, interactive play, and based on the white sheets that I've read about this, it looks kind of cool. I mean, it does. Don't get me wrong. They teamed up with Oculus on this, and they made some pretty good steps on it. But flip side to that is Samsung. It's proprietary to Samsung. I am no longer the fan of Samsung that I once was. So, sorry guys, this isn't enough to get me back to Samsung. So, I guess the odds of me wanting this device and the odds of me buying this device are two different things. Because I could want it just for the augmented reality to be able to fuck around with it and play with it and see what I could do. But it only works with a Samsung Galaxy Note 4. I'm not going to buy a Samsung Galaxy Note 4. So, guess what? That eliminates me from your consumer market. I would be interested to know. I would be very interested to know who this device is geared to. English players, maybe? Those that are involved in Oculus Rift? Those who are involved in virtual gaming, virtual headsets, etc. Augmented reality, perhaps. I don't know. But those of us who are non-Samsung users, yeah, sure, we might like it, and it might look pretty cool, but this ain't for us. Sorry. And at that point, I'm just going to go ahead and call it a night. I know I've got Motorola to get to, as well as Asus, as well as Sony, as well as Lenovo, but the hour is up, folks, and I do apologize, but remember, you can find me right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. We got We got lots of stuff, folks, okay? If you like professional wrestling, WWE and TNA, Captain Awesome and T-Mac, the funniest, craziest, wildest guys that are on the airwaves right now, slamming your face through a table of wrestling knowledge with the Spanish Announce Table. You in the weekend box office? You like going to movies, DVDs, stuff like that? Check out Mr. Old School and his panel of critics every week as they bring old school to movies. Are you infatuated with pop culture? Check out Jack and Brian as they present tunes and they come back to the Trending Topics Network. And of course, mobile technology. Me, Hype the DJ, right here, breaking down BlackBerry, Microsoft, iOS, Android, and anything else that's not a desktop. Check in every day, folks. You never know what's going to be trending next. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.